So for the next 2 days, we're going to find out if our economy is in an inflationary environment or a stagflationary environment, which one is best for homeowners, home buyers, and if you're looking to refinance. That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode. So my name is Dan Frio. I do this report actually 2 times a day and inform you guys what in the heck's going on in the markets. Especially we focus in on real estate because I'm a mortgage loan officer. I'd love to win your business. I'm going to give you all my information at the end of this video. Our slogan's one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. Now, how do we do that? Give you all that information at the end. So what I want to talk about today is right through here, the economy at a glance. Okay. And the reason for this is all this data is coming in this week, and it's going to tell us, are we in an inflationary situation right now in the economy or a stagflationary situation? So I'm going to go over the definitions of both of those here with you in a second. But right now, the market today, here's what I see on my screens. Bond market's down, so that means mortgage rates are up. You go over to the equity markets, and they're down across the board. These are futures, so this is how they're going to open tomorrow. Basically, it's grit across the board. We got oil up a little bit. Not yet. It's $70 a barrel. We need to keep it under $70 for inflation purposes, and I'll show you that also in a second. We have the 10-year treasury also rising. So a lot of people are like, do I watch the 10-year treasury when I'm looking for mortgage rates? I'm going to give you that in a second, but let's get over to the economic calendar. Here's the information that's coming out in the next 2 days. And I'd love to say I can tell you exactly what's going on with these, but I can honestly say I don't. But I'll give you some insight on two of these numbers down through here. So first off, we're going to look at the economic calendar for tomorrow and Friday. So tomorrow we're getting the GDP and also initial jobless claims. Really important numbers. Why? Well, if you go back to this economy at a glance, well, we have the unemployment rate right here, and we got the rate last week. It actually ticked down. So we're going to see how the unemployment numbers are looking. Are unemployment going up? And then we can basically figure out the unemployment rate's going to go up, or is it going to go down? Okay, so that's that piece of it. Then we also have the GDP. If you look right over my head, the GDP numbers are coming out as well. So let's get back to the calendar. So that's GDP numbers and initial jobless claims. Okay, the next day is this thing's called the core PCE or whatever this is. This is the number one inflation number that the Federal Reserve monitors. Okay, if you go back to here to the economy at a glance, it's right through here. It's the number one thing. The Federal Reserve was actually created for two reasons. One was to keep inflation under control, and two was to keep the economy at full employment. Okay, so that's the data that's coming in. So first off, let's go over and figure out what's the difference between inflation and stagflation? Okay, so great question. Let me get my head out of the way so you guys can look at this, and we're going to basically kind of put check marks through here in our mind, I guess, and just say, what one of these situations do you think we're in? And let me know down below, what do you think we are in? But let's get over to it. So we break down inflation is this column, and stagflation is in this column. Okay, the definition of inflation, sustained price increases. Well, inflation is starting to come down, so we'll give that a half a credit. Lowering purchasing power. Okay, we'll give that kind of an okay. Rare mix of stagnant growth. We're getting that right now. High inflation. Well, it's not high. It's coming down. And high unemployment. Well, not really here. So neither of these really fit, but this one would fit the most accurately at this time. Economic growth. Well, we have stable and rising GDP. This is falling GDP. Well, I want to go back to this for a second. We have the GDP numbers coming out, and they're expected to come out at about 1.7. So I'd say that is declining. So if we go back to here, to our study results, go through here, it's not stable or rising. It's supposed to be falling. So this column is going to work out. All right, unemployment, low and falling. Well, the last time it came out, it actually was 4.2, and it came down to 4.1. So I'll say that's falling, and it's pretty low. High and rising, not there. Causes, demand surges or production cost hikes. So we had demand surges during the pandemic. You can see right down through here. During the pandemic, people had a bunch of money. And we had demand surges. Okay, this is supply shock. And then another thing, energy crisis. Okay, that pops up a lot. And you'll see over history, well, energy is a main culprit of a lot of issues that the world has. And policy failures. So I'm going to say supply shock, yes. Energy crisis, yes. And policy failures, yes. Okay, so this one wins hands down there. Policy responses. Central banks raise interest rates. Well, we know basically the central bank keeps coming out saying we're going to cut rates. It's just how many. So go over here. Policy conflicts. Fighting inflation worsens unemployment. Boosting growth worsens inflation. So it's like, what do we do? So if you go down through here, it basically says stagflation is more severe, combining inflation and stagnation. And that's what we don't want. Okay. So that's what we're contending with right now. And that's the news that's basically coming out tomorrow. It's going to tell us, you know, what all these numbers are. It's going to come back to say, here's where they are. And now what's the Fed going to do? Well, the markets don't even know what they're going to do at this point. So that's the confusing part with a lot of this. And the confusion comes daily as we see it. So if we, even if we just go over to this section, I usually try to find, you know, one video for you guys to watch. Let's just pick the top video in my research for today. And I'm sure it's, yep, there it is. It's going to be there announcing tariffs. So let's get over through this. I watched this already, folks, so bear with me. Let's get through this. He's talking about tariffs. I just want you guys to understand, and I'm going to cut him short a little bit because the tariffs, the inflation, what my goal here is help you guys understand what it is. What are we looking at? When you hear people saying stagflation, inflation, recession, what is it? And what effects does it have on, if you're watching this video, on real estate? Okay, so that's our purpose here. So let's just take his announcement on here because there was a brand new announcement now on auto tariffs and see what these tariffs are going to consist of now.
Eamon Javers has the details. Eamon, what can you tell us?
Kelly, there's a White House briefing going on right now, and Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, just said that President Trump at 4 p.m. today will be signing new auto tariffs. That'll be in the Oval Office, and we may be able to see that live. Or a CT playback of that, I should say. We'll get new details on exactly who's being tariffed and what the rates are and all of that later this afternoon. But this is something that the president telegraphed earlier in the week, suggesting that he would do auto tariffs, those so-called sectoral tariffs, before April 2nd when he does the so-called reciprocal tariffs worldwide on countries that have tariffs on the United States. So you remember back over the weekend, Kelly, there was some question about whether or not the White House was backing off the idea of sectoral tariffs, even while keeping the reciprocal tariffs in place. Now the president signaling that no, he's very much going ahead, at least with the auto tariff piece of that. We'll get more detail on exactly where this is going to land, but we do expect now to see the president at 4 p.m., Kelly.
Eamon, curiously enough, or perhaps not, depending on your point of view, the U.S. major automakers, Stellantis included, are selling off on this.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting, you know, I wouldn't be able to tell you why the market's reacting that way. Clearly, you've got both auto tariffs, but then you've also got, steel, other you know, inputs into the auto industry, which are being tariffed. And then the complexity of how often vehicles go back and forth across that border as they're being manufactured. Parts going back and forth, incomplete vehicles going back and forth, how many times they have to pay the tariff, all of that still a little bit TBD. And I think for markets, it's a head scratcher to figure out exactly who's going to be paying what.
Yeah, Eamon, I was talking to an official at a car company not too long ago. They were wondering about the extent to which the tariffs are stacked. That's the term that they use. Are you paying tariffs on tariffs if something right. goes across the border? And I assume, Eamon, we're talking about autos and auto parts, not just completed autos. So we're back to where we were about a month ago with the reprieve that was given, they said for a month or so, and now we're going to put them back on.
Yeah, I think that's right, Steve. And the history here of this second Trump term is that the tariffs have been stacked. You know, one of the big questions when the president talked about tariffs on trading partners of Venezuela earlier this week, he talked about a 25% tariff that would go on anybody who was buying Venezuelan oil, for example. I asked the president on Monday, would that be on top of additional tariffs on those countries? He said yes. So in the case of China, that implies that next week we'll be looking at 45% tariffs on Chinese imports because China does business with Venezuelan oil. Unless that situation somehow changes between now and next week, they're talking about, yes, stacking those tariffs one on top of the other. That's been their approach this entire time. We don't know if they're going to change that approach here, but clearly more detail to come.
Okay, so I did listen to a report just about an hour ago, and it was an interview with President Trump, and he did say after April 2nd, we're going to be surprised. Actually, the whole world's going to be surprised with the reciprocal tariffs. He said, as the end result, probably not even going to be the reciprocation of it. We're probably going to reduce it from there. So there's a lot of uncertainties, and thus that's what's causing all this stuff. So that's why, you know, tune in every day, watch, you know, 10 minutes, and you'll get educated on equities, real estate, and everything else. So again, my name is Dan Frio. I'm actually a mortgage loan officer. I'd love to win your business. I've been doing this over 35 years. So if you're out there looking maybe to buy that first house, or maybe you're looking to refinance, I'd love to be able to work with you. Our slogan, like I said, is one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. Now, how in the world do we do that? Well, I'm actually a federal loan officer, federally licensed loan officer. I can work in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. I've been doing this over 35 years. Here's the unique thing. And the reason why I joined this bank is we have 33 other lenders that we're set up with that we can offer you their programs by using me. Okay. So I'll be the loan officer. We're not selling off your data. We're not shoving you off to anybody else or doing anything else. You'd work with me and we can offer you all the programs I have here at our bank, as well as 33 other lenders. So you imagine putting in 33 applications and trying to do that on your own. If you want me to do the heavy lifting, please reach out to us. Love to help. So go to therateupdate.com. That's how you find me. You can go up there and put in your application right through there. But a lot of people, you know, you may be concerned that you're putting in your social security number, your birth date, all that data. Then I'm going to pull your credit. I can rest assured, I'm not going to pull your credit. I'll reach back out to you before I do anything. But if you'd rather just schedule a consultation or give me a call, you can do that. Just schedule up there with my calendar, or scroll down to the bottom of the website and you're going to find my 800 number as well as my email address. And folks, this is me. People get surprised every day when I call them. I'm like, hey, Dan, this is Dan from YouTube. They're like, oh my goodness, you're calling me. Yes, folks, it will be me calling you. So thanks for watching today's video. If I can ask you one thing, just one thing, if you can help me get noticed by more and more homeowners or home buyers, I'd love for you to do that. Just if you could click the subscribe button over there. I'm trying to hit 50,000 subscribers by the end of the year. And if you could help me out, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks for watching, folks. I hope you enjoyed the video, and God bless you. And I hope to see you back here tomorrow morning at the opening bell to see how this mess starts another day. Take care. See you then. Bye-bye.